Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. The programs most of this week are going to deal with faith. How real is our faith? How deep is our faith? How do we live out our faith in practice? And first of all, I'm not talking about the deeds that are signs of faith. We're talking about our minds. And the readings yesterday, and they continue today, speak of Abraham, speak of what Abram at the time who becomes Abraham, speak of him, what he's dealing with, what he's learning about trusting in God. And we're also learning again about what the Gospel of Matthew shows us that Jesus taught his disciples, living holy lives, entering through the narrow gate, forgiving others, putting God in the center of our lives instead of ourselves. This week, the readings deal a lot with some aspect of faith. And what I want to say to you is, please take this seriously. Please take this seriously. Don't just keep on doing the same old, falling into the same old sins that you always have. We may not eliminate them, but by God's grace and power and our cooperation, we can greatly reduce it and perhaps even eliminate it. We all have patterns of judgment. We judge others. We're very quick to do that all the time. And both the scripture readings and Father Simon are showing us how innate it is in us almost to judge and to criticize others. And God wants to uproot that, but we can't without real faith that God is here, right? And now, as you're listening to this program, God is here in our presence. Can I see him? No. Do I know he is here? Yes. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. But we can't conceive that in our human frame because we can't accomplish it. But God can. And he is with us. Can he make his home in your mind? Your thoughts about others? Your decisions about others? Does God occupy the central place in that? Or is that a reflection of your own sin and your own selfishness? What goes on in your mind? Scripture tells us, bring every thought captive to obey Christ. Bring every thought captive to obey Christ. We can't on our own, but the Holy Spirit can. If we yield day in and day out and cooperate by trying from our end to break the pattern, but keep asking God for the grace, you will change. Your mind will change gradually. And you'll never regret a moment of this battle. I really urge you, brothers and sisters, take a look at how you think. The reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, and then verses 5 to 18. And I am not going to read through all of this because of time, but again, we read the encounters of Abram, and he had so much, and yet he didn't want to cause any trouble. He didn't want to cause any strife. He wanted to bring peace, even among his enemies. He wanted to bring peace. And he was trying in all his ways to follow the Lord. And then at a particular point at the end of today's reading, he built an altar to the Lord. He begins to worship this God who has begun to reveal himself to him. And he worships him. Do you worship God every day? If you cannot get to church, do you worship God in your home every day? That means taking some time to say, Lord, I praise you and I bless you. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your presence with me. I give this day to you that it might contribute to your honor and glory. I give this day to you and ask that you would live in me and work through me in all the tasks that are before me, and then bring the tasks that you have for that day. Bring the problems, bring the worries, bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, accompany me, walk with me, and really mean it. And then be attentive, listen, watch how God in his majesty and power, but so tender and still, changes you, begins to help you to see with his eyes. And faith really begins to grow in you. But it takes that kind of worship every day before the Lord. And don't just say, because you can't get to church, well, then I can't pray. You can pray right in your own home. You can worship him. But if at all possible, you want to be able to go to Mass, because it is the Eucharist that's the key piece. And Father Simon keeps mentioning this. The Eucharist is the key piece. You're being fed on his body and blood. That's what both nourishes and sustains you to be able to change patterns and habits, to be able to repent. Yes, it's work, but it's work that brings great joy, even in the midst of the work. Because God draws near, because we invite him, because we welcome him in our midst. The gospel for today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 6, and then 12 to 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, and then verses 12 to 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you." Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. Think of what the world is pursuing. Think of all its dreams that it's concocted. Think of all its goals, its plans, its ideals, what they hold up to you. It leads to destruction, brothers and sisters, ultimately, because it takes you away from the source of life and the source of true goodness. So that's why Jesus is saying, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That's really true, relatively speaking, brothers and sisters. That's true. I'm going to again share with you what Father Simon says about this section. He writes, "The Jewish context gives a very precise meaning to what is meant here by the sacred. As is clear from Exodus and Leviticus, the sacred in a sacrificial context means the flesh of animals offered in the temple. Only the priests and their families were permitted by Leviticus to eat the flesh that had been offered to God, which after offering is referred to simply in the Septuagint as the sacred things. By addressing his disciples in this manner, Jesus is by implication recognizing the existence of this priestly identity in them, since we are commanded not to give away the sacred thing that they possess. As we see the disciples gathered around Jesus and listening to him, it should be evident that the sacred thing this priestly race possesses is Christ the Lord himself, who has come to them from God and is therefore himself God and has made them his familiars, the confidants of the Most High. He is the Lamb of God who, shedding his first blood at the circumcision and the rest of it during the Passion, is perennially interceding for us before God's throne, that we would choose to follow him and not the values of the world. We would choose the values of the gospel over the values of the world. The values of the gospel lead to eternal life. The values of the world lead to death. And don't try to mix them. We do have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of it. It takes some challenges, meeting some challenges, It takes strength that comes from God, and you pray for it every day. Father Simon says this, "The Eucharistic mystery of the altar will be the unsurpassable realization of this sacrificial presence of the Word that begins with the Incarnation and perdures for all eternity. Insofar as all Christians are the stewards of the mystery, all Christians share in this aspect of the priestly character. We are to offer ourselves, we are to offer to God through the Mass the sacrifice of His Son for our salvation. We are called to be united with Jesus before the face of the Father, thanking Him for giving us life, thanking Him for giving us wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for giving us His Word, but most of all, thank Him for giving us His body and blood on the journey. Are you using all those means that God has made available to us to walk more and more deeply in faith with more and more confidence?" Father Simon says that our contact with the holiness of God through our participation in the Eucharistic sacrifice inaugurates a dynamic process that can only intensify upward until our installation at our place in the eternal banquet of the Lamb in the kingdom occurs. Let me repeat that. Our contact with the holiness of God through our participation in the Eucharistic sacrifice inaugurates a dynamic process that can only intensify upward until our installation at our place in the eternal banquet of the Lamb in the kingdom occurs, or deteriorate downward. You can't be static. And you can't straddle. How often have I said that? Don't put one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the kingdom of this world. Don't do it. You can live in the world but not be of it by the grace of God. Your values and your priorities are the values and priorities of the gospel. It takes faith to believe this, but it's true. I can guarantee it because God has told you, "Be faithful to me unto death, and I will give you eternal life." It's a promise. It's not a dramatic statement. It's a promise. Do you believe? Is your heart really open to believe in God? Are you willing? Are you willing to make sacrifices? Sacrifices of, "Yeah, I'd love to go to this party, or I'd love to go to this event, or I'd love to watch this on the internet. But if I do, I'm going to compromise. I have fun with these friends, but they certainly have different values than I, but I'm strong enough. I can handle it." Can you? Should you? Where should your energy go? Where should your energy go? Jesus says, "How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Be one of the few." God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings," please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.